It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Michael Cassero, and co-host, John Ashton. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit online, painlesslivingshow.com.
Yeah, I hope you got that number down, 888-440-4442, because Dr. Cassero is here for the next hour to answer whatever questions you might have regarding pain in general, low back pain in particular on this side of the radio. But prior to getting into that, just on a personal note, yesterday was National Donut Day.
Oh, I missed it.
Oh, sorry, man. It comes around next year, too. Although I'm sure they'll probably allow a little belated celebration if you're of a mind to. But I did celebrate.
Or practicing for next year.
That's true. I did celebrate. And my question is, could all that extra sugar be why I woke up with such a cramp in my leg this morning? See, now you got me going. Every time I take in sugar, I feel guilty. And then when I get a pain, I go, oh, it's got to be the sugar.
Okay, I'm not going to stop you. I'd say you got the message.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Mea culpa. I apologize, but yesterday was fun. This morning, a little painful, but low back pain, that ain't fun. In any
no,
stretch.
It isn't. It's so common, too.
Mm-hmm.
The statistics are that 95% of all adults mm-hmm. have to deal with at least one serious bout of back pain in their life.
Wow.
That's pretty high prevalence.
It certainly is. Does that come from things, simple things like straining, picking up something incorrectly?
A lot of times you can identify something you did mm-hmm. to strain it, but a lot of times people have no idea.
Yeah.
It just, I woke up with it, or everything was going fine in my day, and I just went and took a step here, and all of a sudden I got this pain in my back.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's like a lightning strike.
Right.
Other times, it's well deserved.
Can something like sleeping on an improper mattress cause problems that lead to back pain? Like too soft or too hard or whatever?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by improper, but yeah, if it's something you're not used to,
mm-hmm.
sure, that could do it.
Okay.
Just like sitting in a chair that isn't comfortable for you,
mm-hmm.
that could do it, mm-hmm. something like that. But those type things usually go away within minutes to hours after you get up and start moving around.
Right, right. One of the top of the list causes for back pain is disc problems.
Sure.
What kind of problems? How do they happen? And how do you fix them, etc.?
Well, you got five main backbones
okay.
in your low back, and there's a disc between each one of those, and then there's a disc above the top of the first one and below the bottom one. So you've got lots of discs in the low back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to serve like cushions, and they're supposed to be flexible so that you can bend. And when they deteriorate, they can cause pain. And there's the discs themselves don't hurt, but whenever it bulges out and pushes against something sensitive, or you get a bone spur, which is a little formation of calcium on an old injury site, if that pushes against something sensitive, that's what causes the pain.
Medications, treatments, what kind of light at the end of a back pain tunnel do you have for those problems?
Okay, well, for the simple flare-ups of back pain that strike people fairly often and fairly common, there are over-the-counter medications, anti-inflammatory medications, aspirin, and all the things that are similar to aspirin
mm-hmm.
that really work pretty well.
Okay.
Because the main problem is inflammation. Those are anti-inflammatory medicines. They'll help relieve the pain so that you can go about your daily activity. And that's what actually gets you over that episode, is getting back and doing your daily activities.
Basic exercise. Get you moving.
Right. And then there's other things that go along with that, like walking, maybe swimming or some sort of stretching exercise, things to make sure that those parts in your back move. You don't want to get stiffened up. So that can all help you get over that episode. Other non-invasive therapies, there are TENS units. There's massage therapy. There's physical therapy or chiropractic manipulation. Mm-hmm. A lot of non-invasive things you can do and that you should do before you look to anything invasive.
Good.
Yeah. And then when you get to invasive, it goes everything from needle sticks like acupuncture to needle sticks with injections, all the way up to surgery with implanted hardware and
stuff that gets really involved.
A really wide spectrum.
Yeah.
Most people would opt for starting with the least invasive things and working your way up.
And hopefully you don't have to get to the bottom of the list.
So the do-it-yourself things kind of stop at the non-invasive things. Well, needle sticks. I'm not sure I'd put that in a do-it-yourself.
I can't reach that part of my back anyhow.
We have kind of an epidemic these days of people that do put needle sticks into the do-it-yourself and the pain medicine that you buy off of the dark web.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. You know, is there a way to tell? Is there a difference in the pain between like a disc problem or a muscle or a tendon problem in your back?
Well, I don't know. The answer is yes, there is. But the real problem is not in is there a difference in the pain. It's how well does the person experiencing the pain explain what they're feeling? How articulate are they as far as telling you what aggravates it? What relieves it? What does it feel like with certain things? Like, is it stabbing? Is it burning? Is it a kind of a constant ache? Does it throb? Mm-hmm. All these things make a difference, but, you know, a lot of people aren't very articulate, or even if they are, their use of the word might not be the same as my understanding of the word.
Right. And a lot of people are, as soon as it hurts, it just hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to say, yeah, there's a difference between pain caused from a bulging or herniated disc and pain caused from a ligament strain. But sometimes just based on the words, it's hard to distinguish that. So we go further and there's physical examination, which is a huge piece of input, data input. And then there's imaging things, x-rays and MRIs being the most common.
One of the things that that I've heard numerous people say, explain, or describe is that sudden, sharp, almost like a burning sensation. And that's really not a back problem, is it?
Well, it could be, but that burning, that's coming from a nerve.
Right.
Almost, let's say, 95% certainty that that's from a nerve. So something is irritating that nerve. That could be in your back. It could be somewhere else. It could be from the nerve being stretched. It could be from the nerve fibers while they're still in your spinal canal being compressed. There's lots of things that can cause that, but it gives you a real strong clue as to where to look for the source of the pain.
Right. When you can actually
narrow it down
sure. to being, hey, that's a nerve situation, you can go from there. Our number here is 888-440-4442, low back pain, the topic on this side of the radio. But again, anytime you have a pain situation you would like to talk to the doctor about, you're welcome. 888-440-4442 or painlessslivingshow.com and just click on the contact button and you can email a question. So
I do answer those email questions.
Yes, you do. You do. Sometimes you answer them here.
That's
on the
true.
Radio. And when you do that, of course, the names have been changed to protect those who didn't want their names to divulge.
Yeah, we don't give the names.
Would you suggest? Well, I'd suggest you hang on, is what I do. Yeah, and if you have a question,
looks like we do have a caller on the line when we come back from the break.
We will get to it. You want to get in line too? It's 888-440-4442 or painlesslivingshow.com. Low back pain, the topic. Quick break. We will be right back.
To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessslivingradio.com.
Give us a call at 1-888-440-4442, and you can get in line. We've got a few people on the line right now.
Yes, we're going to Jim calling from Louisville. Jim, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air. How can I help you?
Yes. I'm calling in about hip pain.
Okay.
I have arthritis in my hip, and I've had an x-ray show that had the arthritis. Now, one of the options is hip replacement. Is there anything else I can do besides going into surgery?
Well, yeah, there are other things you can do, but my first question is, how bad is your hip pain? Does it keep you from doing things?
No, not really. No.
Okay.
It's uncomfortable when I get up out of a chair or walk. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but once I get going, I just go right on. You know, it's okay.
Well, just based on what you've told me, I'd say that taking the risk of surgery, even though it's low, taking that risk is probably a little more drastic than what you need right now. There are nutritional supplements you can take and some medications you can take that might decrease that pain for you a little bit. But the big question is, what's it going to be like going into the future? Because a lot of times I tell people, if it looks like surgery is inevitable, it would probably be better to get it done sooner rather than later, just because you're not going to be younger or healthier in the future in all likelihood.
Right.
So, if it's something that you say you put off for a year or two, and during that time it seems like your pain stays about the same, then you might be able to indefinitely put that off. But if the longer you put it off, the worse it gets, it makes it more likely that you're going to end up eventually needing surgery.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, start looking for times when it's convenient time-wise and for the care you need after surgery and things like that. So let me ask you, how old are you?
68.
Okay. So as far as chronology goes, you're still pretty young. The idea then would be, excuse me?
I said, I don't feel you.
Okay. Well, another thing to look at, not only what kind of medicines to take or nutritional supplements to take for the hip pain, but there are actually medicines that you might be taking for other health conditions that might be making your arthritis hurt worse. And that's another thing to look at. So I'll briefly mention both. Some of the biggest culprits that make arthritis hurt worse is cholesterol medicines and acid blockers. So if you're on those, and some blood pressure medicines also. So if you're on those, that might be a good thing to start off with talking to your doctor about switching you to different types of medicines that might decrease the amount of pain that you're getting from your arthritis.
Yeah.
On the other,
well, on both those.
Okay, good.
Blood, yeah.
You're off of them or on them?
No, I'm on them.
On them. See, that could be the thing that's making this arthritis pain hurt. Because if we take your average 80-year-old and take x-rays, almost all of them are going to have arthritis in their hips, but they might not be having any symptoms. They might not feel bad. So the arthritis that shows up on the x-ray isn't the end game there. It doesn't tell the whole story. It matters what kind of symptoms you're having. And your medicines might be contributing to that. Now, even with that, there are certain nutritional supplements you can take that might help. And if you're on cholesterol medicine, I'd take coenzyme Q10. It's frequently called CoQ10. The fish oil is one of the best anti-inflammatory medicines that there is for arthritis. So take fish oil. And then keep the sugars and starches to a minimum in your diet, because those also aggravate the pain from arthritis. They don't cause the arthritis, but they make it hurt worse.
Well, I have Meniere's disease.
Okay.
I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, that's so where you have some inner ear problems.
Right. So I'm taking quite a few vitamin supplements.
Okay.
In fact, they told me I had to come off that before any surgery.
Yeah, frequently they do, and there are some valid reasons. A lot of times there are individual ones that make a difference, but they tell you to come off of all of them. But, you know, for the short time they have to be off, I'm not sure it makes a big difference, so you might as well follow all the instructions and not have to worry about if you did something that might have interfered with, you know, proper recovery or something like that.
Well, the problem with coming off of them is if I'm off of them for even a day, I have severe attacks with the Meniere's disease.
Okay.
Diarrhea, upset stomach. I've even passed out before from dizziness. I don't know what to do about that.
Well, are you taking high doses of B vitamins?
Yes.
Yeah, those usually you do not have to stop before surgery, and those are really good for Meniere's disease. So I would, in your case, because you have such significant symptoms, talk to your doctor ahead of time about which ones are really going to make a difference for you healing if you have the surgery. Yeah, but
okay.
I'd look for ways to avoid that surgery, and changing your medications up may be a good way to start.
Okay. Last week you all said something about an inversion table. Would
yes.
that help my hip?
Well, it would probably help your hip while you're in the inversion table for sure. I'm not so sure that it would. Well, it won't do anything to make the arthritis go away, but I'm not so sure that it'll help your hip all that much, because when you're up moving around, you're walking, okay, and your joint is moving. And that's one of the best things you can do to cut down on arthritis pain, is to have movement. My guess is that your hip hurts worst after you've been sitting or you've been still for a while when you first stand up to start walking.
Yes,
yeah.
It does.
So, yes. You know, you can try the inversion table. You're not going to do any harm by using the inversion table, but because the main thing to get benefit for your hip doesn't really involve traction, I wouldn't expect you to get a whole lot of benefit from it. Now, if you've got an irritated nerve in your back that goes to your hip, and that's making that hip hurt worse than the other hip, the inversion table might help that a lot, and you might find that your hip doesn't end up hurting as much anymore.
Okay. All right, well, Doctor, thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Okay, Jim, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, and good luck to you.
888-440-4442, and that's what you're here for, to be very helpful, and you're going to do it again.
Well, yes, we're going to do the best we can now for Sharon, who's calling from Southern Indiana. Sharon, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
Good morning. I have a question. My husband and I just bought an inversion table, a nice
yes.
one, and we both have problems with our back, so the doctor said it was good for us. That's great, but it came with a warning sheet with many, many warnings, and one of them was if you have a hiatal hernia, which I do, maybe you shouldn't use it, or it was contraindicated, and the other one was if you have a heart problem. My husband's heart is good, but he did 3 years ago. He has an artery, a tiny artery that's about 75% blocked, and they couldn't put a stent in it. And so both of those things, it would be very hard to get into his heart doctor. It would probably take about 6 months just asking that question.
Okay.
Are those things that would really hurt on using inversion?
No, the type of heart problem that he has, where it's a partial blockage of a small blood vessel, that's not the type of heart problem that you have to worry about with an inversion table.
And how about the hiatal hernia?
My best advice there is just don't eat before you get on the inversion table. Make sure that it's been a couple of hours after you've eaten.
Sure.
because okay. that's all you got to do is have an empty stomach, and you shouldn't have any trouble on the inversion table.
Well, that's what I thought. That makes sense. Thank you so much.
Okay, Sharon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, 888-440-4442 or painlessliving.com.
And we can handle easy questions or complex questions.
Exactly. Didn't even give a thought about the hiatal hernia being because of stuff you don't really want to picture in your head happening internally. But empty stomach would make perfect sense for that. So, tell you what, we should get in the inversion table business, you know?
Yeah, seems like that would be a good business to be in.
They are great. Take it from me. I've got one. It works well. 888-440-4442. That's phone number. You have some questions, easy or hard, give us a call. We will be here right after a short break, and we will be right back.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now. 1-888-440-4442.
You can also access Dr. Cassaro directly through painlessliving.com. If you have a question and prefer not to air it in public on the radio, so to speak, you can always hit the contact button at painlessliving.com and send a question directly to Dr. Cassaro, and he will answer it directly. And it may show up on the radio, too.
Yeah, like this one that we have.
It hurts to stand up. I have no pain while sitting. I can drive 8 to 10 hours straight without any pain, but when I try to get out of my car, it feels like knives stabbing my back and my hips feel broken. I have to stand against the car for a while before I can even walk. Walking's always rough, but not as bad as standing still without leaning on something. Medicine doesn't really help much. Help me. I'm suffering. And he goes on to say, my MRI shows arthritis at all of my discs, but the spine doctor doesn't want to do surgery. He says I have to wait till it gets worse. Well, how much worse can it get? What can I take for this pain? And I want to be able to stand up and walk like a normal person. That seems to be a sensible goal right there.
Sounds pretty similar to what Jim called us about just a few minutes ago.
Yeah,
the one thing that struck me about this was his question, how much worse can it get?
Yeah.
I always tell people, don't ever think it can't get worse. Because I see people every day. In fact, the nature of my business is I get all the people that thought that it couldn't get any worse.
Yeah.
And then it did. And that's when I get to see them. And as far as what he can take for the pain, well, sounds like he's got a lot of arthritis in his back. Mm-hmm. Sounds like that's what the MRI showed. It might have arthritis in his hips too. And I'm not sure what the surgeon actually told him, but what he put here is that the surgeon says he has to wait till it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that what the surgeon probably said is there's nothing here that can be treated with surgery that's likely to do of any benefit to you. He doesn't have compression of any nerves. He doesn't have, you know, spinal stenosis, those things that you really have to decompress a lot of times with surgery. So it doesn't mean that he has to wait for it to get worse, and he says, how much worse can it get? It just means that he doesn't have something treatable with surgery. I don't know, without seeing the MRI, what he does have, but I suspect that because he can sit and drive for a long time, that what he's got is arthritis in the stabilizing joints in his back. They're called facet joints, and they're all up and down your back, but the ones that most likely cause the pain are the ones at the bottom. There are a lot of things that can be done for that. Whether that's also contributing to his hip pain, I can't be sure. But to start with, maybe don't sit so much. I suspect he's probably driving a lot for work if he's doing that kind of driving. And that's probably part of the problem, is he sits in the car, sits at a desk, sits at the dinner table, sits on the couch to watch TV. Plus, probably spends most of his life sitting.
Plus, it's human nature. If it hurts less when you sit, you're going to sit more.
You're going to sit more. It becomes a self-reinforcing thing.
Right.
We're entering the summer months now, pools are open, if he's got access to a pool, a real good thing might be to get in the water. And even if he just walks back and forth against the resistance of the water, mm-hmm. do a lot of that where he's able to get up and use those muscles around his trunk, around his hips and the low back and strengthen them. That can help a lot. Maybe get an investigation by someone who's not a surgeon. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of things to be done for back before you get to surgery. And the surgeon's just trying to tell him, you're not bad enough to see me. Mm-hmm. You need to see someone else.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of things there. So some x-rays might help in addition to the MRI because they show those facet joints better. But there's no substitute for a good physical examination mm-hmm. and, you know, hands-on. This is where it hurts. Moving like this makes it hurt. You get a lot more information that way. I can speculate that he probably has facet problems, and that's something I could help a lot. And I told him about that. Radio frequency neurolysis of the facet joints. You no longer feel those joints anymore, so they don't hurt, even though they still have arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good treatment for that. The hip pain might be arthritis in the hips, could be all from his low back.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting is not a good posture.
No, no. Well, that'd be, at least it's nice to know that there is a light at the end of the pain tunnel. You know?
Yeah, in fact, there's a lot of light. This is a common thing, and there are a lot of things that could be done for it commonly. I suspect that really the only reason that he's in limbo here is that it might be the first doctor that mm-hmm. he saw was the surgeon who said, there's nothing for me to operate on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get this one past your insurance company. Go somewhere else.
Yeah. See you later. Good luck. That is probably, though, the first thought process for people who have severe back pain is go get an operation. Get it fixed.
Well, I think a lot of times that's a case. And, you know, that's kind of our culture. We're brought to think that way. Which is really not a good mindset to have. But, you know, a lot of people, like, he's been enduring this for a long time. This didn't start last week.
Yeah.
You know, this has been coming on for a long time to get to this point. And he finally got to the point where he gets to where he has to go to the doctor. He can't tolerate it anymore. So another part of our culture is, why waste your time climbing the ladder? Just
start
go straight
top.
To the top.
That's right.
So, you know, you can't fault the guy for doing what our culture tells
right.
him
mm-hmm.
is the route to take, but it's probably not in his best interest to follow that.
Yeah. Especially if climbing that ladder is going to get him some relief before he gets too many rungs up it, you know?
Yeah, instead of sitting around waiting to get worse so he can get an operation.
there's one thing that... That's here in bold type, and I've been practicing spondylolisthesis.
Oh yeah, you have been practicing.
You betcha, man. You betcha. I can speak, doc.
Yeah, that's a particular type of arthritis. It used to be called a slipped disc,
which was so much easier to pronounce.
Yeah, and a lot of people might still refer to it as slipped disc. The term spondylolisthesis is just a applying some foreign language. It's either Latin or Greek.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Greek to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what it means, is a slipped disc. You have two backbones that instead of being perfectly lined up, they're slipped across each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives a stair step type of configuration when you look at it on an x-ray.
Okay. Fixable?
Not really. Okay. The best thing that could happen is for it to heal in that position.
Oh, really?
And stay solid. So a lot of times they do surgery. If it's a real bad slip, they'll do surgery with some rods and screws to fix it in that position so it doesn't slip further.
I got you. You know, it's really a shame that you can't take care of arthritis the way dentists take care of plaque on your teeth.
That would be a whole different situation we're dealing with, wouldn't it? Well, the trouble is that even though when you look at those x-rays, they look like they're just standing there free inside your body all by themselves, but there's stuff attached all over. And so you can't really get in there with that ultrasound wand and make the plaque fly away.
The sciatica problem, that's a very long nerve, is it not? The sciatic nerve?
Yeah, that's the longest nerve in your body. It starts at your low back and goes all the way down to your toes.
So it could hurt anywhere along those lines. Or does most of the time when you've got a problem with that nerve, does it manifest itself as a pain in your lower back?
Frequently, okay. Yeah. You get the pain in the low back, and then you might get the pain anywhere in your leg. It could be hip, could be back of your knee, could be side of your ankle, all the way down into your toes. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be all the way down. It can feel like it skips places. And a whole lot of times it's the pain in your foot that's the worst pain. The pain in your back is kind of insignificant compared to the pain in the foot.
Mm-hmm. We have to touch on this, much to the consternation of some of our listeners, but back pain can oftentimes be triggered or caused by improper shoes.
Yeah, they sure don't help, especially we were talking with Jim and then with this email questioner about facet arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
When you wear high heels especially, it changes the tilt of your pelvis and the tilt of your low back, and that can increase the amount of pain you have in your back. It can also increase the pinch on the nerves to cause sciatica.
Yeah. Well, I've given up high heels many years ago.
So. Well, we're all grateful for that.
Yes, we are. And sometimes pain can actually be caused by, like, an infection, can it not?
Yes. Yeah, when I said before, when you have that burning pain, it's about 95% certain that it's a nerve problem.
Mm-hmm.
A big part of that other 5% that causes burning pain would be an infection.
Ah. Yeah. And is that just your simple antibiotic treatment and it's over, or is it not that simple?
Usually not that simple. If it's an infection in your back, deep inside, it's very likely to be a serious thing.
Okay.
If you've had surgery, that might be how you got the infection.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't had surgery, it was probably something bloodborne. That found a place where your immune system was a little bit weak or a little bit overstretched.
And is taking advantage.
Yes. And those are serious.
888-440-4442. That is the phone number. We have 12, 13 minutes yet together. So if you've got a low back pain problem or any kind of a pain problem, give us a call. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
Phone number 888-440-4442. PainlessLivingShow.com. You're also very capable of following some great advice from Dr. Cassaro throughout the course of a week if you simply follow him on Twitter.
At Painless Living.
And then you want to see what he's saying, what other people are saying about what he's saying, etc. You can always join the Facebook and follow the Facebook page.
Painless Living Radio Show.
There you go. See? All kinds of ways. You just don't have to be around here at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
But we appreciate it.
But you should be. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Where else would you rather be, right? Right here. You mentioned earlier in ways of doing some self-medication, a swimming pool, especially this time of year.
And it's rough in January.
It is rough. It's a little uncomfortable. But it makes you forget the pain in your back, let me tell you. But a swimming pool, you don't even have to swim. You can just walk around.
Yeah, of course, swimming is a great form of exercise for physical conditioning, and I would guess if someone has that much pain, they're not getting much exercise. Mm-hmm. So swimming might be a really good avenue to pursue there. But, you know, the guy that couldn't walk, the email question we had, can hardly walk, if he gets in the water and the water supports his body, he'll be able to do all the walking he wants.
Right.
And because he gets in and starts doing that walking and gets the joints moving, they kind of lubricate themselves and get moving, and that helps the arthritis.
Yeah.
So that's likely to help him a lot. And then if he steps that up a notch and does some like power walking against the resistance of the water, mm-hmm. he might strengthen his low back support muscles enough where then he can start some regular exercise routines. And if he finds a new line of work where he's not sitting all the time or can somehow get less sitting, he might never need to have surgery because he might never get worse, like he was saying, right. but also he might start feeling a whole lot better.
Yeah.
I would guess, and I'm just guessing at this, but he's probably very sedentary in his lifestyle, and he's probably already got a lot of other health problems.
Yeah.
And all those health problems might get better if he could change the sedentary nature of his lifestyle.
Yeah. But again, human nature is if it hurts to do it, we usually opt not to do it.
Yeah, you know, that's a big part of it, but you kind of have to step back a little bit and stop looking at just right now, what makes it hurt right now, because you have to ask, why is he doing all this work where he's doing all that driving? Is it because he's wanting to build a future for retirement?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's his retirement going to be like if he can't move?
Right.
So start doing the things now. I saw a poster one time that said, take control of the life your body leads before your body takes control of the life you lead.
Ooh, we need one of those. Just space right about there for it. It'll work great. Inversion tables, you know, therapy. I would think that walking in a pool would, I don't want to say easier, but it maybe speeds up the benefits of walking because you're walking against a resistance, so you wouldn't have to walk as far or as often to get the same physical result as you would if you were on a sidewalk.
Well, that's probably true, especially as far as the strengthening
goes.
Right.
I mean, it just makes sense. Again, at home, at what point would you say, and you're not here to say, hey, come see me all the time, that's not the reason for this, but at what point do you say to yourself, well, maybe this over-the-counter stuff, which does give me temporary relief, but it's not doing anything for the situation. At what point do you say, maybe I should have somebody look at this?
That's a good question. And I'd say when the pain gets to be where it's there all the time, if you're not taking that medicine, that's when it's time. If you're having a flare-up and you've got to take the medicine for a couple of weeks, and then things ease up and you're back to life as usual, then that's probably still the best way to handle it. When it starts getting to where every day you got to get up and you got to take some anti-inflammatory medicines.
Right. And that 1 hour that the cream is still on your back and working is the only hour it doesn't hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
And once again, the place to start is probably with physical therapy or chiropractic manipulation and work your way up. I wouldn't recommend starting with the first encounter with the healthcare system over your aching back being a spine surgeon.
Yeah. Again, that goes back to the starting at the top skips a whole lot of possibilities on the way up.
Well, you know, from a practical standpoint, even if what you have is something that's appropriately treated with surgery, and you go see that surgeon and he agrees, hey, you need an operation. He's still going to have to send you to physical therapy and maybe even for injections and things like that just to get the insurance company to approve the surgery.
Right.
So you might as well start there and work your way up. And there might be some opportunity to not have surgery if it gets better along the way.
When you mentioned spinal stimulators as a treatment for back pain, is that external or internal are you talking about?
Well, there are two main types, external and internal. TENS units are what we call the external ones.
Right.
And there's also muscle stimulators, interferential stimulators. There's different types that are external. You have a patch like a heart monitor patch that sticks on your skin, and an electric current goes between them. or sometimes it's a garment with electrodes in it that right. hit on your skin, and you have an electric current that stimulates the tissue under the skin, muscle and skin mostly. The other type are the permanently implanted stimulators. They're usually either inside your spinal canal or right alongside a large peripheral nerve. And those are the stimulators that interfere with the pain signals. The external stimulators kind of take up all the signal carrying capacity of your nervous system with non-painful stimulation so that the pain signals don't get through. It's a little bit different way of working, but
it sounds great. Just flood the system with information and don't let it all get through.
That's the way it works.
How bad do you know it is if a TENS unit doesn't do anything? And maybe the flip side of that question is, how soon should a TENS unit be able to relieve pain? Immediately? Or is it something that...
Most of the time, it's immediate.
Okay.
But, you know, for lasting relief, you might have to use the TENS unit for days or weeks before you get to the point where you can take it off and the pain doesn't come back right away. Mm-hmm. The TENS units are best used intermittently.
Okay.
Use them for like a half hour, an hour, take them off. Yeah. Later in the day, use them again. The internal stimulators are usually used continuously.
Right.
And they're made to be used continuously.
Hard to get to the on-off switch when it's internal. You know?
Well, it uses a remote control for your TV. Yeah, it's a little easy. You don't have to keep a box of Band-Aids with you.
Oh, man. And I guess, you know, the basic sleep, diet, exercise, I mean, that's good for what ails you no matter what ails you. Isn't it?
Pretty much anything that ails you, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, you know, I'll kind of wrap it up into a nutshell. The only thing your body has to repair and maintain itself mm-hmm. is what you put in it. Mm-hmm. You put good stuff in, you get a good result. Bad stuff, bad result. Your body does that maintenance and repair when you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. So don't cheat sleep. Mm-hmm. And what makes that maintenance and repair system strong and working hard is exercise. So that's how those three things fit together to keep you aging a little more gracefully instead of deteriorating rapidly.
Other than, you know, eating well and as you've said repeatedly, shopping on the perimeter of the grocery store, getting fresh produce and fresh meats and things like that. What you mentioned earlier, CoQ10, fish oils. What other kind of supplements would you recommend just to make sure that your body's got everything it needs?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because one thing that I really left out when we were talking mm-hmm. to Jim before mm-hmm. was glucosamine.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the best things you can do for arthritis, gotcha. Including in those hips. You want to avoid surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Take glucosamine. If you're on aspirin or any of those aspirin-like medicines, which a lot of people that have arthritis are taking those,
right. mm-hmm.
then you take the glucosamine with chondroitin.
Okay.
And they come together in one capsule.
One huge capsule.
Yeah, so you take glucosamine with chondroitin, and the studies are very convincing
mm-hmm.
that's one of the best things you can take over the long term to protect your arthritic joints, keep them from getting worse.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you.
So that with the fish oil might avoid that surgery indefinitely.
See, and that's the kind of information not only can you get from listening to this program on a regular basis, but follow Dr. Cassaro on Twitter. Again, the address?
At Painless Living.
And then Facebook page is?
Painless Living Radio Show.
And then we are here together every Saturday morning at 11 and hope you're a part of that crew. Right?
Absolutely.
Painless
Listen
Living
and Learn.
Yes, indeed. PainlessLivingShow.com is where you go. Here is where you come every Saturday.
I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro.
And he's a sharp dude, man. Knows what he's talking about. I'm co-host John Ashton. We both look forward to having you back next Saturday right here.